Trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Stay nearby. Don't go far. What's chocolate thunder without lightning? Oh, by the way, that's my alias. I'm Chocolate Thunder, and my wife's Brown Sugar, and Brown Sugar number, I forgot the numbers. How many females do I have in my family? But that's my beautiful wife, Yvonne, who looks better than all of them, all my girls. What's the truth? I'm sorry. Of course, my youngest daughter, Teresa, her oldest daughter, and we've got two little rugrats running around. Amen. And they all think they're my wives. But listen, let me just say this by way of, this is really the highlight of my year coming here in February. And boy, I tell you, it feels like July today almost in Rochester. Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, the weather's great. I like it like this. But anyhow, this is a good place for me to kick off my evangelistic ministry every year. And you folks have been more encouraging than, my wife said I need to be careful. It might be somebody visited from another church when I say this. Nobody's been more encouraging to me in our ministry than you folks. I remember the first day I sat down with Brother Legault and Pastor George Grace. And he encouraged some of the guys to let me in to the churches. And your pastor was one of the first. And I tell you, I've got a great deal of respect for this brother. I really do. I call him Daniel Boone. And that's a term of endearment because he's everybody's shepherd, even mine. This brother, I tell you, he got tons of wisdom. And I don't mean to spread a net for him, his feet. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, back, where I come from, they say, keep it 100. I'm just keeping it 100. I'm keeping it real. Okay. But anyhow. And I praise the Lord for the brethren that are here. If you guys didn't want us back, we wouldn't be able to come back. And so we certainly want to be a blessing to you. I get convicted because, here I am, we come to be a blessing, and I feel like that you guys get the worst end because you bless us more than we can ever imagine. And we just want to let you know that we thank you. Being over to the double wide, the trailer, my goodness, brother, as soon as we walked in, we said, we're staying about 3 or 4 days. But I don't know. I don't have much more time to do that. I just want to let you know that we love you and we like you and we hope to be a blessing to you. Amen. And I do have a gift for you. You like it. Okay. And I do have a request coming up. This afternoon at 2:00. Okay. Let's open up with a song. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, their living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cry. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadow come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Father, I thought we had a great Sunday school. It certainly was great to be here. And Lord, we look forward by faith to You ministering to us through me and through each other. Pray once again that You would strengthen us with might by Your Spirit who dwells in the inner man. Christ might dwell or abide in our hearts by faith, that we might be rooted and grounded in Your love, being able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length of depth and the height of Your love, that we might know by experience the love of Christ with passage knowledge as a result of being filled with all the fullness of God. Now, God, please speak by Your power to everybody in their prospective places. Oh, God. My heart is so grieved in my own life, in the life of too many in this day and age, except for the remnant. God is a remnant. Those who have not bowed their knee to Baal, those who are abiding in You. I think of the Hebrew over in chapter 11. God, a real testimony of a remnant throughout the scriptures, the Old Testament. Who knew what it was to abide in You. I think of Enoch and all the brethren that I mentioned over there. I think of the New Testament, St. Paul above them all. John. Look who I miss, John. God help us to abide. Father, I really believe that the greatest sin that a Christian can commit is not to abide in You, not to continue to remain in close fellowship, because, Lord, we can't do anything without You. And I know the greatest sin for unsaved person is for them not to allow You to abide in them so that they can abide in You. Holy Ghost, have Thine own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to do a couple of things a little different. I'm going to back off on my message somewhat in consideration of the time. I don't have to stay up here long to say what we have to say. But I did ask my little brother, and I mean that's a term of endearment. This is one of the greatest young men I've ever met in my life. I mean that. I marvel that The Lord has blessed him so with so many different gifts and the opportunity to be interned by Brother Legault. I've watched him grow phenomenally over the years. Tremendous preacher, really good singer, getting better. Stay close to Chocolate Thunder. Not that I'm better than you, I'm just got a deeper voice. And you don't hear many basses nowadays. That's okay. But anyhow, I asked him to help me out. We had an opportunity at a pastor's fellowship a couple of weeks ago, and we did something together, and it really worked out pretty good, didn't it, brother? He's starting to look like me. You know, you stay close enough to family members and you take on resemblance. You know I was going to wear pinstripe? You got the color wrong, though. But that's okay. You're getting there. But anyhow, I'm going to let him review Sunday school's message. You're going to take 5 minutes, not 10. 5 minutes.
I'll try and take three.
Okay, that'll be. Okay, you're conscious of time, so you're running things. Why don't you go ahead, and then I'll follow. Thank you, brother.
In the Sunday school hour, he was talking about getting ready and being ready for when the trumpet would sound. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, Jesus Christ is in Revelation chapter 3. He talks about standing at the door and knocking. And he stopped looking for a church and he stopped looking for everybody else. He just wants anybody that would just open the door and sup with him and have some fellowship with him and take some time with him. And I got thinking about that, brother, and he had me do an illustration for him at Brother Birkinshaw's church for the pastor's fellowship. That was one of the things we did. And I'm going to give you another one.
Go for it.
I got thinking about this. I heard Brother Donovan use this, and I liked it. I never thought of it this way. And he's talking about abiding. The only way you can be ready for Jesus Christ to show up is if you're in him. Whether you're lost, you need to get saved so that you're in the body of Christ, so that you know that you're redeemed, you're bought, you're paid for, your sins are taken care of by the blood of the Lamb, and for all of eternity it's settled up that you are in Christ. But the question came, how do you get the idea that you're in Christ and Christ is in you? How does that work? How can you be in Christ and Christ be in you? One's inside the other. How does that work? And this guy got asked this question one time, and he was standing there, and there was a fire in the fireplace. And he said, well, you know, I guess the best way I can describe it is, you see this here poker? And he sets the poker inside the fire. And he says, now, we all know the poker's in the fire. But if I leave the poker in long enough, the fire is going to be in the poker.
Glory to God.
And the poker is going to be in the fire. You know why Christians don't get to the place where they abide? They don't spend enough time in the fire. They don't spend enough time with the Savior. They don't spend time on their knees. They don't spend time in their Bible. They don't spend time all day fellowshipping with him. When he's talking about pray without ceasing, when he's talking about having fellowship, you get to 1 John chapter 1 and he talks about him having fellowship one with another and fellowshipping with our Savior. The fellowship is who you go with. It's who you spend time with. You know why God took Enoch home? Enoch walked with God and was not, for he took him. He was tired of, God was tired of fellowshipping with him here and said, you know what, you come up and you walk up here with me. Enoch had God with him every day. God decided, you know what, I'm going to get you up here with me. And Christians, they don't spend enough time in front of the throne, so they don't get the chance to spend any time up there with him. They lose the idea of fellowship because they're so concerned. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it long enough? Am I walking through all the motions? And God doesn't care about your motions. He cares about your relationship.
Amen.
He doesn't care about you honoring with your lips and praising him with your mouths because your hearts are far from him. And to abide with him, you just got to stay in the fire long enough. And soon he'll get in you. And you'll be in him. And there won't be any question, there won't be any mistaking when somebody looks at you, instead of seeing you, they'll see the Savior.
Very good. Praise the Lord, son.
Amen.
Boy, this brother's anointed. be like you. Wife made me jealous the other day. She gave him a smooch and she said, "Hi, baby." I said, "Wait a minute, he's not your baby." Okay. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Help me. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every I need thee. I asked the Lord to help me to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. And I really feel led of the Lord to ask you folks to take a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds, to just pray. Pray as God leads concerning the service. And your pastor broke the silence as he lays hands on me. He prayed already. I appreciate that prayer, but the Lord told me to tell you, pray again, so maybe I need it. So you'll break the silence. Just bow your head and just pray as God leads for the service, and pastor will break the silence.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you again today. Father, knowing you're holy and righteous and just and pure and perfect.
Amen.
And knowing, Father, that you choose to work through imperfect vessels.
Like me.
To tell us of you. Now, God, I ask that you give this man of God a fresh anointing.
Oh, God,
Father,
receive it now by
faith. Take control of his mind.
Yes, Lord.
His mouth.
Yes, Lord.
His heart.
Yes, Lord.
Father, his lips, the actions
yes.
of his hands and feet. And
everything.
God, we pray that all that's said and done might be to your praise, to your honor, and your glory. We pray, Father, that you would lead him. Father, that your Holy Spirit can take complete control, not only in him, but in the hearts of each and every person that's here. Father, that you might have your will and your way in all things in this service. Father, that the preaching might be with power.
Yes.
Father, that your word would be with clarity.
Yes.
And Father, that it would do the work that you promised. It never returns to you void.
Amen.
And God, we thank you for that. And we thank you for Brother Tony being here. And we pray again, Father, a fresh unction from on high, that Jesus might be lifted up on high. And we'll thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. How's that shoulder? How's that knee? If you would, turn in your Bible to the text that we've chosen for the whole day. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. And our title of the message is, all day, are you ready? Are you ready? I pray that that would resonate in your heart. Are you really, really ready? And what are you doing to get ready if you're not? Amen. The Apostle John, one who I know was ready. I don't know if anybody knew any more about abiding in Christ more than John. Certainly no one else wrote more than he did. Amen. Because he had that close and intimate relationship with the Lord. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, lives in you. And we need not that any man teach you, but as ye have the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it abideth, hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now that anointing is speaking of the Spirit of our Lord, amen? And the Spirit of God lives in us. We don't need anybody to teach us. But God has gifted men and women gifted us to teach one another, amen, by the Spirit. We need to make sure that we're preaching and teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be speaking the truth. And he goes on to say, and now, little children, abide in him. He's talking to Christians here. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Are you ready? Ready for what? Are you ready to experience the ultimate, intimate relationship before the Lord returns? A relationship that is the epitome of all other relationships. I mean, the greatest relationship that there is this abiding relationship. A relationship that Jesus prayed for and paid for in John chapter 17. If you turn there, John chapter 17. I don't plan on being with you long, but I just pray that God would, even as our pastor prayed, that I like that verse that says this, that the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Pray that God would prepare your heart so that the word of God would not fall by the wayside where the enemy comes and snatches away before it bears fruit. It would not fall by on stony ground where people get excited and then when trials come, all of a sudden they forget the word, amen, and it doesn't bear fruit. Or the word falls by a thorny ground heart. People get all excited. They want to hear the word. They want to abide in it. But you care too much about the world, the things of the world. The good ground is the ground that God has softened, a heart that God has softened, that the word might penetrate that heart and bear fruit. Now that applies to the unsaved, but it applies to the saved as well, the same principle. We want this word today to bear the fruit of abiding. You say, well, I'm already abiding. Listen, you can't be close enough. So there's something here for everyone today. Amen? And so we're talking about the epitome, the greatest relationship that you could ever have. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Jesus, and this is the Lord's Prayer, folks. Amen. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Let's skip over to verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. He's speaking about his disciples. For Jesus first prays for himself concerning this ultimate, intimate relationship that he had with the Father before he went to the cross. And you might say, well, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. Well, he was praying prophetically because he knows he was going. And he knew that as a result of taking your sin and my sin upon him, like a funnel was on his head 2,000 years ago in due time. How many of us know that Jesus, there was a specific time in history that God had set apart for Jesus to be crucified, for him to go through his passion week, all the things that he suffered, 2,000 years ago, the Bible calls it due time, when Jesus was going to be nailed to that cross, he's going to be crucified, and God was going to pour all the sin of all of mankind on Jesus Christ, all of our sin, past, present, and future, in that moment of time. And so there he is, our Lord and our Savior, getting ready for that, knowing what was going to happen to him. All the details, because he talks about it throughout the book of Psalms, especially Psalms 22. At that moment, Isaiah 53, you know, an Old Testament reference after another. And he warned his disciples before it all happened. And now, when it's begin to happen, he knew that he was going to be separated from the Father for the first time. Ever. We got to understand, if we don't already know, and I'm sure that you do, for most of you, that Jesus always has been God the Son and the Son of God. Never having been separated from him because he was one with the Father until that moment in time when all the sin of mankind, my sin, your sin, Caleb, Pastor Legault, John, Yvonne, Teresa, Jamia, Tony, every one of us was poured out on him. And he knew that at that moment that he was going to be separated from the Father. So he prays, Father, I've finished the work that you've given me to do. I've glorified thee on the earth. And now, Holy Father, I pray that I might be reunited with you. That I might have the same glory. I might have the same relationship I had with you before the world was. The ultimate, intimate relationship restored. And then he prays for the disciples of his day. And he prayed many things for them. And we won't take time to look at the long prayer list that he made. Very specific things. Out of everything he prayed for, the one thing that he prayed that really stands out more than anything else, which happens to be the theme of this book, is he prayed that they might be one with him. And then he prays for us, those of us, the disciples of today. In John chapter 17, verses 20, and notice the references to one or oneness in this portion of Scripture. If you haven't already highlighted it, it might be good. Because this is the ultimate intimate relationship. It doesn't get any better than this. To be one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We were created for that type of relationship. Saved for that type of relationship. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Folks, this is why we go to heaven, because of this prayer. Which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's this abiding relationship we're talking about. Amen? The epitome of all other relationships. The epitome of all other relationships can be summed up in one word, oneness, with God the Father, the Son, and with the Holy Ghost. If we have time, and we can use this verse for a point, these verses for a point of reference in John chapter 14, verses 23 to 26 emphasize the same thing. As a matter of fact, let's take time to read that. As much as I enjoy quoting Scripture, boy, it just seems like it becomes more potent when you read it. Amen for yourself. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have commanded you, or whatsoever I have said unto you. We're talking about this abiding relationship, this oneness, the ultimate intimate relationship. We're talking about point number two, A relationship that is the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity. John chapter 17, we'll turn back, verse 3. Jesus sums up what eternal life is really all about. It's more than just being saved from hell. Come on, somebody. He says in John chapter 17, verse 3, once again, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In other words, this is what eternal life is all about, that we might know him, the Father and the Son, not just the head knowledge, but we might know them by experiencing this ultimate, intimate relationship with them. A relationship that the Father planned even before the foundation of the world. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, why don't we flip over there? Ephesians 1, verse 4. And when you get there, say amen, but tell the truth. Are you really there? Are you telling the truth? Okay. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Your salvation was planned before you were even created. God knew who was going to get saved and who wasn't going to get saved. You don't know it. I don't know it. That's why we need to go and tell everybody. Amen? But God's very plan from the very beginning was to create mankind. And for those, some who might have gender issues, that means men and women, boys and girls. Almost said baby, but you're too big to be a baby. My little brother. My littler brother. God created you for a love relationship with him. He loves you that much. Want to see what God looks like? Look in the mirror. He took upon human flesh. He looks like us. Every one of us, all the time. All at one time. He looks like chocolate thunder. He looks like white lightning. And capiche? Capiche. He's got it. That's what it's all about. God created us. Then he recreated us for a love relationship with him. That's really what salvation is all about. I mean, a fringe benefit is he saves us from hell. And if that's enough to get you saved, man, get saved. But understand that the greater part of this thing is this intimate relationship that he paid for and prayed for, this oneness that he talks about being the essence of Christianity, what Christianity is all about. All things, for we know all things work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For him, he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Your pastor mentioned Jesus as being the embodiment of all of God's attributes. But one of those attributes is he's the embodiment of God's love. God wants us to be the embodiment of his love. That's why he created us. That's why he saved us. Take that one in the chin, Satan. Not that I'm trying to stir him up. He's already stirred up. But he's defeated. And he would do everything he can once you're saved to try to keep you from abiding in Christ. You know, I've got a discipleship group over at the old church I used to pastor. I went back to the young man and said, listen, no, he asked me if I'd come back and help him. I said, yeah, I'll come back as missionary evangelist, and I'll help you out, you know, because my heart is still in the city. So anyhow, to make a long story short, he said, would you take on my young kids? Would you help them, 6 to 12-year-olds? And I said, that's beneath me. No, I didn't. I thought it. But the Holy Spirit just shut me up as quick as it came to my head. And so we started a discipleship ministry called God's Gladiators. And my granddaughter is my my administrative assistant. And before I lose the point, I was really referencing talking to him about the armor of God and how what's so significant about the armor of God is not the physical aspect. I gave him an example. I said, you know, let's say I went and got some armor, and I'm walking around like Iron Man, clang, clang, clang. You think the devil's going to be concerned about that? He's going to laugh at me. Chocolate thunder, you're a marshmallow. I got you, man. What makes it significant is this. The physical armor is a spiritual picture of two great truths. The living word of God, Jesus, and the written word of God. Amen. The word of God. When the enemy sees you abiding in Christ and his word, that's when he's concerned. He does not want you to abide in him. He does not want you to be ready when Jesus comes back. He had his hands full with Jesus, and he kicked his butt. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we need to stop fooling around with him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God. That enemy will come through any medium you give him. The television, music, bad attitude, I mean, any crack he can find. And you know what? It almost sounded like a tangent, but I had to come back to this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says this, and he that abideth in him sinneth not. You know what that means? It means that closer you are to Christ, the less you're going to sin. The closer you are to him, the less you're going to sin. Sin will keep you from fellowship with God, or fellowship with God will keep you from sin. It's the essence of Christianity. Listen, it's a relationship that was exemplified by Christ. He gave us an example of how to live your life the way he lived his life when he was in his humanity. I mean, how did Jesus do all the things that he did? Well, first of all, he's 100% God, 100% man. But from a humanity standpoint, listen, he lived a life that was totally and completely yielded to the Spirit of God for everything. He submitted himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You talk about humility. I remember Jesus saying in Psalms 22, he said, listen, in reference to the cross, he said, listen, I'm a worm and I'm not even a man. We're talking about God becoming like the created, coming from heaven. The word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he became poor that we might become rich. He became the essence of poverty, coming from the highest state to the lowest state, where he didn't even see himself as a man anymore. He said, I'm a worm and no man. And he did that for us. And for the glory of the Father. He exemplified this abiding relationship in John chapter 14. He was a perfect example. Help me, Holy Spirit. John 14, 9. Let's start there. Jesus saith unto him, start verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It is satisfied. If you just, listen, Lord, if you just stop beating around the bush and show us plainly and clearly the Father. Give us a glimpse of, give us an example of who the Father is. Show us the Father. Jesus saith unto him, and this could very well have been me, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Tony? I wonder if he could say this to you. Let's personalize this. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, or abides in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works. He said, listen, if you don't believe me for the things that I'm doing. He said, listen, I've been with you this long. Don't you know who I am, Philip? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because the Father lives me and lives in me, and I live in him. The words that I speak, the things that I do, it's not me. I'm totally and completely dependent upon the Father. I'm allowing the Father to live his life through me. I am his physical body. Get the picture? He's referencing the abiding relationship. And then he says something very profound. I mean, everything he says is profound. I better drink some of this water, man, before you guys. I thirst. But anyhow. See how much I love you? I'm good as long as I don't die. But anyhow, let me miss my point. You told me not to mess with you, didn't you? He goes on to say, verily, verily, I say unto you, Tony, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In other words, he's talking to his body now. And now he's talking to all of us as Christians. He said, listen, I'm going to go to the Father. The works that I do, you're going to do greater works than me, because the body's a lot bigger now. And you'll be able to influence a whole lot more people than I did in my humanity. That's part of his plan. If you live a life that is totally and completely dependent upon me. Now, he explains that in John chapter 15. Let's quickly go over there. We're talking about a relationship that is the epitome, an abiding relationship that is the epitome of all other relations. We're talking about an abiding relationship that is the essence of Christianity, what Christianity is all about. We're talking about an abiding relationship that was exemplified by Jesus in his humanity. And now we look at how Jesus explains this relationship for us in John chapter 15. And we're just going to go to two verses here. Jesus said this, abide in me. Remember, we talked about what this abiding means. It means to begin and then continue. Some of us haven't begun yet. Some of you are saved, but you're not in fellowship. And I speak the truth to you in love because I'm burdened. And I know how it is because I speak in experience, because there's times that I'm not as close as I could be. And I'm never close enough. Capiche? Capiche? Okay. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, not you. Ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now, this isn't a grapevine, but this gives a good picture. Jesus said, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. You talk about a great picture of this relationship. I don't know if there's a greater one. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. Just like the natural branch cannot do nothing without the natural vine, you can't do anything without Jesus. You cannot bear any fruit. You cannot bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the likeness of Christ. without staying close enough to Jesus until he enables you close enough, long enough. I'm talking about maturity. Tonight we'll be talking about this. You don't want to miss that. But anyhow, it's not a commercial. I just don't want you to miss anything that God has for you. The table is being set. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine, come and dine. You can feast the Jesus table all the time, all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. He who feeds the hungry soul says, come and dine. Come and feast at his table. What's wrong with Christianity today? There's nothing wrong with Christianity. There's nothing, definitely nothing wrong with Christ. It's Christians. We live in an age that is characterized by many of God's people, and one is too many. Not having an abiding relationship, not taking this thing serious enough. Because self is sitting on the throne.
Come on.
And the last thing the self wants to do is get up. You know who self is? Let me tell you who self is. He's mentioned over in Isaiah chapter 14. I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the throne. I. The backslider in heart shall be filled with I. You call yourself a Christian? You better be sure. Because if self is sitting on the throne too often, it's important to take inventory. Paul said to examine yourself to see whether or not you be in the faith. I love you. So he explains this relationship in those two verses, in essence. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't bear any fruit. Without staying close enough to me, just like that branch is attached to the branch is attached to the vine. Then he goes on to say in the next verse, and I didn't mean to go there, but I will. He said this: if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He is not saying that if you're out of fellowship, he's going to throw you into hell. He's just saying that when you're in a if you're not in an abiding relationship with the Lord as a Christian, you're a miserable wretch. And you're going to wither and dry up like an old vine, a branch that's fallen off the vine. And I know that. I've been there way too often. When I used to get into my really down syndromes, all I thought about was me. And I talked like this years ago. I'm talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago where I couldn't peel myself out of bed. And please understand, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm really not. I'm talking about me. You can tell who's on the throne of a person's heart just by the conversations that they have. What do you talk about? I know who you talk about. I talk to you a lot. You're always talking about Jesus. By the way, you look like Jesus. I don't know when you don't, but I'll talk to your wife if you want me to. Don't talk to mine. Because I know you're still a work in progress. You look like Jesus, huh? I'm watching the clock. You too, John. Every time I see you, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm counting on it. I got something for you today. She's so close to you, you're starting to look alike. And they spent time with him. We're talking about a relationship that is the epitome of all other relationships, this oneness. We're talking about a relationship that is the essence of Christianity, the reason why God created you. We're talking about a relationship that is exemplified, or Christ gave an example in his humanity. He allowed the Father to live his life through him by his Spirit. We're talking about a relationship that is explained. It's more than a parable. It's more than an allegory. It's an example. It's an illustration. A relationship that I believe that God created divine for, so that we can get a good picture, not just because it gets good grapes. So we can have a picture of this abiding relationship that we wouldn't miss it. Nobody's better. He knows it. He knows that we're visual. We're talking about a relationship that the Lord encourages us to experience. Revelation chapter 3. This is the closing statement, verse 20 through 22. Revelation, when you get there, once again, say amen. Boy, you guys are slow. Of course, I'm not there yet, and that don't count. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, my sheep hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him, into your heart, and will sup or dine or have fellowship with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, the ones who overcome, and the ones who you overcome by faith, by depending upon the Lord. Amen? According to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also have overcome, and to sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath the ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. In other words, he's saying this. I stand at the door and knock. He's not only knocking. He calls by name. If any man will hear my voice, open the door and let me into their heart. I will fellowship, I'll sup with him. And we define fellowship as the mutual sharing of Christ's love and life with him. And he with me. You're here today. You may know Christ as your Savior. He's resident the moment you get saved. But is he president? Who's sitting on the throne? Is it Christ or is it self? You can tell by your desires. You can tell by the things that you say. You can tell by what you read, what you listen to. All your five senses speak to it. Preach on that. Let me ask you. You received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You received him as your Savior. Have you received him as your Lord? Daily. Paul said, I die daily. My brother said, I die three times a day. I get with the Lord three times a day. I'm trying, but I ain't disciplined enough. Pray for me. I want to be there. I want to be like you. I want to, at nighttime, I'm so sleep, man, I can't even think. I'm sleeping, walking to the bed. I want to do that. Purposely give him your heart. First thing. Lord, come in. Be seated at the throne. Where's Melanie? Ooh. Ah. Lord Jesus, take me. Lord, here's my heart. Remember that? Take me now, Lord Jesus, take me. I would give my heart to thee. All my talents. Somebody's singing that. Only thine to thee. Savior, while my heart is tender, I will give thee all my talents I surrender. I am thine, Lord, here's my heart. Daily. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. He's standing at the door of your heart, knocking. Do you hear him? He says, open the door, let me in. I want to come and dwell. I want to live in your heart by faith. You see, God is a spirit. And when he comes to save you, he wants to come and dwell in the inner man, in your heart, and connect with your spirit. But you got to let him in. He's given you a will to make a decision. He never sends anybody to hell. We send ourselves by not receiving Christ. But he stands at the door. I love you. I want to have this intimate, I want to have the type of relationship that this preacher talked about. The epitome of all other relationships. The essence of all other relationships, Christianity. The relationship I exemplified, I explained, and I'm encouraging you to experience it. What must I do to be saved? I'm glad you asked. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, you want him to be the Lord of your life. And the only way that you can confess that Jesus is Lord is by the Spirit. You can't do that in the flesh. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No, it's not. It's somewhere. I forget the reference. Huh? 1 John. No, you got it wrong this time. I'll show you later. God draws you. You run from God, and God's drawing you today. He drew me 40 years ago. He's drawing you now with the word. What must you do? Surrender. Receive him as Lord and Savior. Surrender your life to him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, believe enough to receive him. The devil believes, but not enough to receive him. Are you going to be like the devil? You got his nature in you. Unless you get born again, surrender. Then call upon him. Pray something like this. Everybody, every eye is closed. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Pray something like this. Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord. And Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to save me and not only save me, but I want to give you the throne of my heart. Lord, I believe you right now enough to receive you as my Savior. I believe that you came, you died, you were buried, and you were raised from the dead. And so right now I'm calling upon you. Oh God, say this in your heart. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you promised, shall be saved. And I'm calling on you right now. Please save me. And then help me to be like you. I surrender. In Jesus' name. All heads are bowed. Anybody prayed that prayer in all sincerity this afternoon? Anyone this morning? Anybody pray that prayer in a minute? Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. For the first time, you prayed that prayer. Never prayed it before. Well, bless God. I hope that means everybody's saved. Make sure that you're saved. Christian, everybody, all eyes for it. I asked the pastor if we could have invitation, if we can get some music or something. And Brother Caleb, if you'll come up, Pastor, if you'll come up, and we'll just stand right here. If you need prayer for anything, you might need prayer for healing, a sickness or something. I know Pastor prayed earlier. You know, you might have a question about your salvation. You might need to tell somebody that you're saved. However God is leading, please stand. However God is leading, you just come forward and we'll pray over you as God leads. Brother John, could you come up as well if you could pray with us? I don't know. There might be a lady that needs another lady to pray with. Would your wife, would she mind coming? As God leads. You might need prayer. You might want to be a gladiator. You might want to have a closer walk with the Lord. You know, I tell you, it means a lot to have people praying for you. Amen. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with your relationship with the Lord? Listen, if I wouldn't stand up here talking, I'd be the first one at the altar. If God is leading, you come. What song?
476 in your hymn book.
Pastor, it's on you.